live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
The chief executive of anti-monarchy group Republic, Graham Smith, says a chief inspector and two other Metropolitan Police officers have personally apologised to him following his arrest at the weekend. Scotland Yard has expressed regret over the arrests of six anti-monarchy protesters. Patients will be able to get some prescription medicines direct from a pharmacy under new plans. Treatments for seven common conditions will be available without seeing a doctor. And Ukraine's Eurovision acts say they appreciate the support of other countries as they arrived at the song contest's opening ceremony. The electronic duo Tvorchi joined the 36 other artists for the turquoise carpet welcome ceremony in Liverpool.
We feel like a whole big family, you know, and this is very, makes our hearts warm, that we have such friends that can help us in these hard times.
And manufacturers are calling for a royal commission to be set up to give a boost to business investment. Make UK says a long-term industrial strategy is needed. From Radio News Hub, I'm Andy Hoyle.
Think you're ready for Sky's next generation full fiber broadband? Think again.
Yeah, big.
You want it bigger? It's not just fast, it's full fiber fast! Yeah! We're rolling out game-changing speeds on the UK's most reliable broadband technology. Get ready for broadband that blows you away. Sky Broadband Full Fiber. Built for entertainment.
Selected areas only. Ofcom UK Home Broadband Performance Report, October 2022. See sky.com.
Coming up, Africa in Focus.
Live on DAB Digital Radio, Colorful.com, and apps. This is Colorful Radio.
Africa in Focus is sponsored by Dermadew Lotion. Visit dermashark.co.uk.
Colorful radio.
Good morning, or good afternoon, or even good evening, depending on the time zone that you are tuning to us, or even, you know, catching up with us. Welcome to Africa in Focus, and I'm your host, Julius Banuto. Today, another wonderful time, amazing week. The week that we saw coronation happen. We are just at the back of that week because it's on a Tuesday morning, but we are at the back of that week. We saw end pretty much well. Yes, a lot of people expected there to be sunshine everywhere and warm weather, but the blessing from above, which no one can control, in the name of rain, happened to come. So that's how it was on Saturday. But you know what? Today is another time we just need to talk about this coronation, and of course in reference to Africa and our people, the Afro-Caribbean communities from wherever you are. What do you make of the coronation? We've seen interesting reactions and globally about this same subject. And of course, talk about this through is none other than my great friend, Teddy Coffee, and is a broadcaster, a well-seasoned broadcaster across the UK. And I'm happy to have Mr. Coffee to talk about these things. So welcome to the show, Africa in
Thanks
Focus.
Thanks very much, Julius. It's always a thrill. I listen to your shows all the time, so I'm thrilled to be here.
Yeah. Thank you. And we are, to our listeners, we are coming to you from the heart of London, to wherever you are, on Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio. Keep it colorful. We just want to have an essence of what just happened. How was the coronation like, for example?
The ensign of kingly power and royal scepter. The ensign of kingly power and justice. And the rod of equity and mercy, a symbol of covenant and peace. May the Spirit of the Lord, who anointed Jesus at his baptism, so anoint you this day, that you might exercise authority with wisdom and direct your counsels with grace, that by your service and ministry to all your people, justice and mercy may be seen in all the earth.
Sacred anointing is done. Presentation of regalia complete. The moment of crowning has arrived. In the chair of St. Edward, with the crown of St. Edward, King Charles III
of kings
is acclaimed.
And Lord of lords, bless, we beseech thee, this crown, and so sanctify thy servant Charles, upon whose head this day thou dost place it for a sign of royal majesty, that he may be crowned with thy gracious favour and filled with abundant grace and all princely virtues. Through him who liveth and reigneth supreme over all things, one God, world without end. Amen. God save the King!
God save the King!
Bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you and give you his peace.
The Lord protect you in all your ways and prosper all your work in his name.
The Lord give you hope and happiness that you may inspire all your people in the imitation of his unchanging love.
The Lord grant that wisdom and knowledge be the stability of your times and the fear of the Lord your treasure.
May God pour upon you the riches of his grace, bless you and keep you in his holy fear, prepare you for a happy eternity, and receive you at the last into immortal glory.
And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.
Yes, I hope you caught up with that.
Oh, I thought that. I saw it live on the day.
Brilliant. It was an iconic moment, but you cannot say a king is a king without a celebration. They come together. Amazing times, historical moments. What's your take on that, Teddy?
Well, it was. It was an interesting day. I actually didn't think it would rain. Rain came on, wasn't for people. Off. I think the people were quite, those who were there were quite up for the event. But it just underscored to me how old country is, well entrenched its institutions are, and how you want to create change in the United Kingdom. You've got quite...
It's just amazing. Of course, some of these things I came to realize is not what we see. For example, Teddy, the carriage that the king or the queen ends up in during these particular coronations, which are not that many. This carriage happens to be 4 tons heavy. I thought it looked so light, but 4 tons heavy, for what? And then again, what I found amazing is that the king, the queen, none of them have a life they ride. You know, the you and me out here who are not royals, we're like, I would love to be in that place. You know, it looks so, you know, with the gold surrounding it and pomp and pageantry with the horses and everything. You're like, I would love to be there. It must be very, very comfortable. But the queen,
you know,
was quoted saying it was the most uncomfortable place, means of transport we ever used.
See, this is where you have to trade off style versus substance. And the style of this is important. By the way, age that age, because it was in 1762, and it's been used in every royal coronation since 1831. And the reason the thing is so uncomfortable to ride is that there's tons of gold leaf, pure gold leaf. The intelligent will immediately ask themselves, hang on a minute, where do they get all that gold from? They don't mind gold in this country. But that's another conversation, but perhaps later on in the period. And it just made me think, again, how the other half lived, because you see, real listeners travel in a carriage like this. The hoi polloi, the ordinary ones, the Ostrands drive around in Bentleys, Rolls Royces, Mercedes, Camar, Range Rovers, Cadillac Escalades, and the like. There is a league division in this, and that carriage is almost a symbol of how exceptional, how unique, how otherworldly the English, the British monarchy, I should say, is.
Indeed, indeed. And of course, we saw a wonderful day. Credit to the British media, we saw the immediate coverage during the day coming across as a very wonderful, successful day that everybody was happy in the country. Everybody was happy, yeah. But what I found unusual was how they managed to keep out the anti-monarchist protests. And of course, we saw arrest happening later, you know, and while people are saying, God save the king, we had a different group of people who are like, not my king.
Not my king! Not my king!
Well, I'm sure you heard all these chants, not my king. We've seen a very wonderful image projected to the rest of the world from London. Of course, successful coronation, everybody happy, millions or thousands of people coming, millions tuning in, and all was really hunky-dory, as they say. But behind that scene, we see also what was suppressed, chants of not my king. What to make of that?
Well, I mean, obviously the class act of international pomp and pageantry. And they're very good at managing the look and feel of an occasion of this nature. But just off camera, you will know that all of this pomp and pageantry is happening within a real social context. And that real social context says that while 58% of the overall UK population are positive towards the monarchy, amongst 18 to 34%, only 12% think that the monarchy is a very important institution. So you've got a nation which, at its younger end, for example, is less keen on the idea of monarchy. And when you're talking about the oaths, the so on, these are completely medieval. The kids, younger people, don't relate to that. All of in the pomp and, you know, gold leaf covered coaches and so on. And here we are in the middle of a cost of living crisis. So, yeah, I mean, it wasn't one event that was taking place, coronation. It was the coronation and the cost of the coronation, which is a very different story.
Yeah, great. Of course, we've seen what happened in the UK and all these amazing reactions from different groups of people. But of course, then we may ponder, we may want to know, what does coronation of the king of King Charles mean to the rest of the world? And we realize that immediately that King Charles will be king to almost, I think almost about 14 sovereign countries. He will be the head of state. And we are talking of countries like Canada, Australia, New Zealand. We are talking about small islands like Adigwe, Barbuda, Bahamas. We are talking about Belize, Grenada, Jamaica, Papua Guinea, New Guinea, you know, St. Kitts. There are so many, St. Lucia, St. Vincent, you know. And among all these, you know, they were more than that, Teddy. And we see Barbados managed to detach itself not long ago. They said enough is enough. We are going to be a republic. And they managed to do it. So as we are speaking, we have some countries also considering that. And we have New Zealand. The Prime Minister of New Zealand, Chris Hipkins, he announced in May that they also intend to be a republic. One may wonder, Teddy, that what does it mean for the king to be the head of state of any country? Actually, it's stronger and more impactful than you think. Because as the head of the state, king being the head of state is represented by a governor general. This governor general can open and dissolve parliaments. This governor general can also commission prime ministers, appoint other ministers, and he can also give assent to laws that have been passed by parliament. He can also act as a commander-in-chief of the armed forces. That's extremely powerful. But when you think about today, colonialism ended. These countries are supposed to be independent. Their head of state is somewhere in the UK. I don't know what you think about all this.
This is Colourful Radio. Colourful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
The point is that I was talking to someone, and I thought that, you see, everything moves in cycles. We all are born as infants. We grow older. We become maybe ill and slightly less firm. And in the end, we decline. And the British Empire has been in a state of declination for a long time. And we are something that is now so strongly being seeded in the minds of people that that idea isn't about to go away. One of the things that surprised me was the attitudes, particularly of Africans, who the king doesn't even govern, but they are members of the Commonwealth. And the attitudes were not about the legitimacy for a nation, but more the legitimacy of the source of wealth. Now, it's something I hear now more and more, and it's something is creeping into the mainstream discourse. For example, there are countries that are talking about reparations for the transatlantic slave trade, because the slave owners were compensated, but the people who were victims of enslavement have not had any reparations given back whatsoever. And so people now clearly aware that yes, the pomp and circumstance is beautiful. Yes, all of this stuff has been very well choreographed, but you can't eat pomp and circumstances. You can only eat economics. And that's what people in the world right now are far more focused on. Not, I should say, the United Kingdom, but also around the world. If we've got a cost in crisis here in the United Kingdom, these people have got very real, very pressing problems, and they have to ask themselves what difference will whoever occupies the throne of the United Kingdom make to our circumstances today? And if he won't make a difference to our circumstances, how relevant is he lives? Another thing, Julius, that comes to mind is when we go away from the question of the 14 nations of which King Charles is going to be the leader, you come to the Commonwealth. The Commonwealth is a two-track institution. There is what I might call the European-based or the white Commonwealth, the other Commonwealth, which for far greater majority. Their terms and conditions of membership are totally, and you this most principally in things like the status accorded to them, British government, when Africans of state go along to the events, they're herded along in a coach. You know, when other people come along to these things, like say the Prime Minister of Australia, the Prime Minister of Canada, they go along in their own personal limo. You can see the difference there. When it comes to visa apps, there are fast mechanisms for getting people, say, from wealth into the United Kingdom, which aren't, frankly, just aren't available to the non-white community. So there, people are also beginning to see that, look, this is a twin-track operation, and do we really want to be members of a second-class members of an organization, which on paper looks very good for our welfare? People are now beginning to ask, and the people who ask the question hardest of all are the Zoomers, those born called Generation Z. Africa, for example, has a population which is so heavily skewed towards the under 24s. And they're the ones who are going to ask themselves, look, what is the relevance of this to me? Will it make a difference to me getting a job, is what they say.
Yeah, very true. I mean, I quite, you know, understand where you are coming from. It's very important to raise this question of what importance is it, even to the youths in the UK. I saw one of the greatest argument was the idea that, okay, the coronation is spent, they had to spend about £250 million, and the youths are like, this comes at the back of lots of protests for pay increase, the nurses going on strike, doctors going on strike, ambulance all the time. For the first time in the history of this country, we saw them going on strike. And, you know, teachers, name them, almost everybody. And then you're like, the challenge of the what they call cost of living has become extremely overpriced to so many people in this country. And therefore, to spend that amount of money became a point of focus. Why spend this amount? And yeah, all for what? Is it going to add value to my life? Will it make a difference? Will it change my life? So those questions are very much happening around, even on the ground in the UK, but not even before we travel to the rest of the Commonwealth countries. But one of the things I see, of course, we bring this, the relevance to Africa. You know, when you come on the ground in Africa, I'll give you a few examples. We saw in South Africa immediately the economic freedom fighters led by Julius Malema demanding that, you know, the diamond which was on the king's the crown he wore should be taken back to South Africa. And these diamonds, by the way, officially they say were given to the British colonial government in 1907 by a man, South African apartheid chief known as Louis Botha. He gave, you know, they call it the African Star. Actually, that's what they call it, the Africa Star. He's on the crown of the king. They want this returned to South Africa. So, supposing it was to be taken serious and it was to be returned, the crown would be incomplete, wouldn't it?
You see, Jules, I mean, like I said before, it's a trajectory for every living entity, from birth to decline. And we have come to that point where, you see, the voice of the was almost the voice of God, vox populi, vox Deus est, the Latin say. And the clamour for reparations, which people feel they can manage by just ignoring it, sweeping it under the carpet, calling it stupid and crazy and so on, it's just not going to go away. All of that is because of the context in which this conversation is being had. Now, I think that they've tried to manage the image of the crown by focusing very much in the coronation ceremony the idea of service. But service also has metrics of management, for metrics for equation. What difference having this crown make to lives, the people who are striking and so on and so forth? As if the elected representatives of the people are having a good time. British politics is a total shambles at the moment. We've had the debacle of our erstwhile PM Boris Johnson. And then it went into the even greater kind of craziness of the Liz era. Now we got sooner. But the economy shrinking at 6% in a year. While other European economies comparables to Britain are growing at 3% per year. You know, the existing minister has just lost over 1,000 local council seats in the current elections. So stability hasn't been established. And the question people will ask themselves is, actually, these are the fish I've got to fry. Will having newly appointed and crowned monarch make to all of, bearing in mind that the king is a non-political leader. But there's more of that later.
Colorful
radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At DermaShack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, DermaDew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, DermaDew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. DermaDew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
What actually immediately then comes to my mind, a country as busy as the UK, a country overwhelmed by its own challenges already. Mm-hmm. What capacity do they have to manage all these 14 sovereign countries, of which the king should be the head of state?
Okay. You see, the way I view it is that the crown is the cherry on the cake. It's like the icing on top. It's the symbolic head of institutions which are ancient. And it is those institutions that were used to create the wealth, like finance, politics, the military world. You see, so all of these institutions are still very much in place and behaving as that they used to behave before. If you ask me, people say that the British Army is shrinking. Sure, okay, ask me, do you want Britain as a military enemy or a military ally? I have to say military ally, because the British armed forces are still deadly. You know, the City of London has so much influence on finance and finance. So these institutions are still there, and the means by which the crown, if you like, is sustained. What is happening now is that there seems to be a bit of a sea change. People in the United Kingdom are asking themselves, do these institutions work in my interest? And then you come into the realm of politics. Because previously, it was the immigrants. It was people of African origin, people of Asiatic origin. But we can say that that bridge is being crossed. The Prime Minister of the United Kingdom is of Asian origin. But does that really matter? Because he is like the dressing, the window dressing. Because the things really matter are the institutions that underlie them. And it is those institutions that people are now beginning to question whether Parliament is doing a good job. You know, they're beginning to where media actually acts to support interests, all in a time of really fast moving change in which people's consciousness is changing. And that, I would say, is actually the biggest obstacle. You can manage people's perceptions for a while. I'll tell you, I mean, I've done a lot of outside broadcasts before, Jules, and typically at these previous occasions when the Queen was alive, you know, the crowd would be beating a track to the microphone. Like, you could say, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. This time, when I watched this coronation, there was a subtle shift. You felt as if the TV commentator was there as the crowd. They were there rather encouraging out the crowd to be preached. That is a change, because in days of yore, you wouldn't have to encourage the crowd to be spontaneously upbeat. Now you're having to fluff them up, and I would argue that there are fewer of them. Do you follow me, Julius?
Yeah. I guess it's just because also these people are part and parcel of all these experiences that are very much prevalent in the society. They see, they know what's going on behind the scene. They know the truth. They go home, these realities hit them hard. And of course, when you want them to talk, of course, sometimes they are caught between a rock and a hard place, because do they speak the truth and be seen as not loyal to the king, or do they just suppress it?
You see, I mean, it was, I had to walk a bit of a tightrope on the day, because I told myself that this coronation is not about me as an individual, as a broadcast journalist, as a person, that this coronation was about UKPL, the United Kingdom, and that it was the United Kingdom's birthday party. And I wasn't going to rain on that birthday party. If it gives people comfort and joy to see the pomp and pageantry, even for one day, and lifts their spirits a little bit, so be it. I'm not going to be the guy who's going to be blowing the whistle and saying, no, you can't do this, you shouldn't do this, this is wrong with this, and where did he get those jewels from, and so on and so on. Though they are perfectly legitimate questions. After the coronation, when the euphoria wears off, it won't take people long to realize that inflation is in double digits, that, you know, the price of eggs goes up literally every 2 weeks, the price of butter goes up literally every month, that sardines are in short supply. Now, that's the sort of thing that happens in so-called third world countries. You get shortages of goods. Well, we're getting shortages of goods in the United Kingdom now, not for the same reasons, because there is that other thing called Brexit, which is happening in the wings. But the sum total of all of this is people's quality of life is becoming depressed. And the they will ask themselves, what the biggest issue? Whether we have the king or whether we have a good quality of life? That is, you know, that's the calculus that increasingly more and more people are doing. And it's a complex one, you know, because to be honest, with King Charles, you know exactly what you're going to get. With the politicians, I mean, my goodness, we had a bastard, was it 9 days? Last queen over 70 years in apprenticeship, a job as King Charles III. You see, so these are all complex, you know, questions that people are going to have to make. So it is not just a gimme, a slam dunk that, oh yes, everybody likes this. People are scratching their heads at the moment and they're thinking, how are we going to take this thing forward?
But we all agree that it was a wonderful time to sit back, reflect, and have a positive feel, even for a day. Because as you are rightly putting it, I saw it was like also a conspiracy by the media. All of them were very much in praise of the king and what was going on, and all reporting as I was watching across. It was all wonderful. There wasn't any specifically that was strong negative reporting. Even, you know, the focus on Prince Harry, who came and left, didn't have so much impact. It's like, sometime I saw some media trying to analyze his facial expression, trying to force him to look isolated. And with all that, and his brother, Prince William, pledging loyalty to the father, that didn't really seem to have a lot of weight, as perhaps the media would have forced it to have. I don't know whether you noticed that efforts by the media.
We have to be very clear. There's one thing on the agenda. Let's have a coronation and let's make a thumping good one. And I think that given all the circumstances, they did a brilliant job. It is when, but when you go to any party, it's a great party. It's a lovely party to have. Is that when you come back, you start to think, oh, what am I going to do? So conversation was had, but it would have looked as if in very bad taste to actually kind of leap there and say that this and not that. And if you, and you see, if you're silent, I wouldn't castigate you for being unethical or unauthentic or whatever. You can see what's going on here. I mean, it's not on a person's wedding day that you come out and tell, you know, all their past. But let them enjoy the wedding.
It's not the day to announce moments of cheating.
Exactly. I mean, yeah. So it would look as if really bad taste for that sort to happen. That doesn't mean it's not going to happen going forward. I know that looking at the African collective, who are not required, certainly outside of the UK, who are not required to be singing off the same hymn sheet that they've made about the monarchy, been incredible. They really have been incredible. And these are comments would never happen 15 years ago, 20 years ago, just wouldn't have happened. From which we learn that the times are a-changing. And as we go forward, I think Britain is going to have to find a way of living that suits current everyday challenges. I think that there are big things which are coming. The first one is the emergency. And I'm curious, I'm very curious to see how the King is going to navigate that one, because he was actually the face of the climate change, the Great Reset, that was done from the World Economic Forum. I'm very curious to see how His Majesty is going to continue forward on that one. It's going to become highly, highly politicized. Will or will not react to any of these things going forward, because we definitely live in different times. The world we live in is not as fractious as the world Queen Elizabeth II had to manage.
This is Colorful Radio. Colorful Radio.
During life, your skin is subject to many conditions, leaving your skin rougher and tighter. We want to help. At Dermashack, our unique formula provides day-to-day moisture for all skin types. Our signature cream, Dermadew, is a cream that can be used for both specific areas of dry skin and as a daily moisturizer. So why don't you try our cream, Dermadew, an intense rehydration cream that leaves your skin like silk. Please go to our website, dermashack.co.uk, to see our skincare range and begin your journey into total moisturization. Dermadew, total body cream, complete moisturization.
One of the things that I noticed was the presence of different African presidents, but the one that caught my attention was Mnangagwa, president of Zimbabwe. Apparently, Zimbabwe and sanctions from the UK. What does that mean? Sanctions to Zimbabwe by UK, and it still came.
Well, again, there are so many ways. Constitution, the final law of the land, and it is not written. It is managed and operated by a system of conventions. So things of that nature relate to the institutions beneath the monarchy, which keep countries like Zimbabwe very much down at heel. My prediction is that that be tenable very much longer. I think all is going to change. Even if the political establishment in Zimbabwe believes that it can continue in the old way of managing relationships with Britain and so on, I suspect that the people are going to find their voice.
Okay.
This is actually an example of how diplomacy is played at the very highest levels. It's damaging for Zimbabwe to be in this position, but they've decided of undergoing sanctions from the United Kingdom, but they've decided that they're going to attend anyway. And what this does is that it keeps the channels of communication open. From another viewpoint, some might say that it is an act of diminution. It is something that is makes Zimbabwe more subservient. But I would say that if you look at the long game, it makes far more sense to be in a position where the dialogue is still going on, because over the passage of time, this issue is only going to go one way, and that way is towards the direction of Zimbabwe. Even if the political classes want to kowtow to other foreign powers and so on, I do believe that the groundswell of popular opinion will drive those political classes in a particular direction. And in the end, they won't have any other choice but to react to the popular demands. See, the days, I believe, of regime change, which have always been in the playbook of the West, and which is how many former colonial countries are controlled, I actually believe that owing to a change of the consciousness of the people in these formerly colonized countries, from the ground up, people are going to say, actually, this isn't going to work for us. And the West will have to just adjust itself.
Oh, yeah, quite true. That, Teddy, look, in the Commonwealth we have right now, of course, Queen used to be the head of the Commonwealth. Now the King will be the head of the Commonwealth.
Yeah.
In 2023, all those many years after colonization ended, is this fit for purpose? Should it be reformed? Should there be like freedom to choose new head of Commonwealth if it's an institution that's what its purpose?
You see, often it is iconic events that take place which cast a shadow which is far greater than the individual worth of that act. I remember when the Manchester City Raheem Sterling at that time was absolutely racially pilloried in a match, in a Champions League match in Spain, and the universal horror that brought up moved the whole racial diversity, racial equality argument in the world sport of football on. It was just one player. But the abuse of that player was the straw that broke the camel's back. Now, when it comes to things like the Commonwealth, I remember that it was after Harry and Meghan's trip across Africa and the huge impact they made with people in Africa and their return to this conflict within their family at Buckingham Palace. That was a moment when people thought, well, what's the point of being in a Commonwealth? As happened in that footballing example, the experience of Harry and Meghan, and when Meghan had been identified as somebody who was of non-white descent, and their clashes with the royal family, it actually made people feel that the monarchy had been set against people of colour. And from that moment onwards, I think many people started taking the view that, well, this Commonwealth may not really be for us. It's for certain types of people. But if the head, the family which runs this thing, can't manage one of us as a member of their family, then this is a real problem. And I think that as time goes by, I suspect that the majority of people in this country will just come to the point of view that it is one's humanity that counts more than, you know, the color of one's skin or the nature of one's ethnicity. So all of these things are going to mean that a Commonwealth, which at the moment is very, very discriminatory by race and by ethnicity, may not be an institution that those who don't belong to the quote-unquote premier race or premier ethnicities will want to belong to. They'll ask themselves, well, is this really for me? So again, this is a matter of the passage of time and the change in people's consciousnesses. And it's a bit like trying to hold the sea back. The sea will roll forward. It's inexorable. It's force majeure.
Well, thank you for that. Of course, we wait to see how things pan out. And of course, we'll see if the coronation had some value to Commonwealth. Only time will tell, but from our end, that's all we have for today. However, for our listeners, don't go away. Stay tuned for more programs coming to you from Colorful Radio. Do have a wonderful day. And of course, until next time, thank you, Teddy Kofi, for being with us.
Thank you very much. It's been a pleasure, Julius. Okay, Jules?
Africa in Focus.
And I got rum, and she just wanna have fun. We got a problem, we got a problem. She got moves, she got some. I wonder where she come from, cause I am feeling where she the shit. I wanna see you do love me, put your hands in here. If you're feeling fantastic here, yeah. If you're feeling ecstatic here, yeah. I wanna see everybody wave your hands in here. Cause I got the vibe and I gave you the vibe. Now we have the vibe, now I'm feeling the light. Wonder for sure tonight, we're gonna have the time.
Everybody follow.
The Hennessy got us feeling right. Let's take a picture, let's take a photo. Save memories of the night. So when I take a shot, everybody follow. The Hennessy got us feeling right.
Make a touch, make a play, make a sing, make you whine, I'm do-do.
That's how she dey do the things with the bus in my head, oh. She crazy like a rock star. She come clean, but she get in my head, oh. Yeah. She wanna go my side, so she's asking her head, oh. Say, she go like to stay a lot, oh yeah. Say, she no go down, come out, oh yeah.
Bedu go drop zero, Roma go dance, oh. She go dance the oh, eh. Bet you go drop zero, Rima go dance the She go dance the oh, eh. Bet you go drop zero, Rima go wine you oh, eh. She go dance the oh, eh. Bet you go drop zero, Rima go dance the oh, oh, oh.
Up into one, we go charge you up. I know you no look no other. Girl, I know say, now me what you want. Stop to the carry your shoulder gun, yeah. Le le le, I just wanna know you mad, myself. Le 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 le, I'm only jam one sweet loving. Sure you go give me sweet loving, no. I tap your love, I go keep passing, no. Le 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 le.
Go drop zero, Rima go dance you. Oh, 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 oh.
She go dance you. Oh, 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 oh. But you go drop zero, Rima go wine you. Oh, 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 oh. She go dance you. Oh, 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 yeah. But you go drop zero, Rima go wine you. Drop city, my go wine.